ॐ हरिः ॐ तत्सत् श्रीगुरुभ्यो नमः हरिः ॐ ॐ गणानां त्वा गणपतिं हवामहे कविं कवीनां सूर्यो भ्राजो दधातु ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः रागद्वेषवयुक्तैस्तु विषयान् इन्द्रियैश्चरन् आत्मवश्यैर्विधेयात्मा प्रसादम् अधिगच्छति. ध्यायतो विषयान् पुंसः सङ्गस्ते विधेयात्मा प्रसादमधिगच्छति The 62nd and the 63rd, these two verses tell us how it is natural for one to develop desires. Not develop, how desires are born naturally. And how the objects perceived externally become responsible in triggering the desires. That is said. And those desires, it is very natural for one to have the desires, but the desires unmanaged, will result in disaster. Pranashaha. Unmanaged desires will lead to disaster. But desires managed will lead to relative tranquility. Relative tranquility will help one to become absolutely tranquil. So if one is not relatively serene and tranquil, it is impossible for one to discover the absolute tranquility. What is absolute tranquility means, which is very swarupam of the Atma, and for which mind has to be relatively tranquil, free from turbulence, restlessness. It mind has to be steady. So, to have that steady mind means to have that restlessness free, agitation free, steady, relatively calm, The absolute calmness only in jnanam. Okay, to be relatively calm and serene, to entertain the contemplative disposition which will really lead to absolute tranquility, one has to manage one's desires. So unmanaged mind will result in buddhinashaha. The managed mind will result in what? Prasadaha. Okay, prasadam adhikachati means one becomes relatively calm and serene. That is said in the 64th verse. And suppose if the mind managed, how the mind should manage, we saw already, living a life of karma yoga is the only way to manage the mind. To have the purified mind, to have the mind pure, have it purified and also to have it calm, one has to live a life of karma yoga. Living a life of karma yoga implies, being committed to live a life of dharma, which implies having mastery over one's ways of thinking, which implies one always chooses to do the right, avoids the wrong. One's actions are always governed by one's knowledge of right and wrong, not by one's own likes and dislikes. So the one's desire, one's actions being in conformity with one's knowledge of right and wrong, really are the actions which do not transgress dharma. And if the actions do not transgress dharma, we can very well say that person's senses are free from raga dveshas. That means what? Not ragadvesha governed. Sense always free from ragadveshas. Only mind alone, understand now. Not totally free from, they have mastery over ragadveshas. So such, you can say ragadvesha vyuktaihi indriyaihi vishayana charan vidheya atma. One whose actions do not transgress dharma at all. One whose actions always in conformity with dharma. One whose actions do not go by one's own likes and dislikes, but go by one's urge of right and wrong. Such a person is said to have mastery over his ways of thinking. Such a person's senses are said to be free from ragadveshas. So he says, such a person is said to be vidheyatma. Such a person definitely, he can't help. He will definitely become relatively tranquil and calm. He will not be perturbed or disturbed. Prasanna manaskaha bhavishyati. Prasanna manaskaha, when you say, prasadam adhigachyati. There is no disturbance. He is relatively calm. If a person is relatively calm, by living a life of karma yoga, by being committed to live a dharma, then naturally, he says, what happens? His mind is ready for contemplation. He can be easily contemplative. Then what happens in prasada?
Prasade sarva dukkhanam hanirasyopajayate prasanna chetaso hyashu. Prasanna chetaso hyashu buddhiparyavatishthate prasade sarva dukkhanam hanirasyopajayate prasanna chetaso hyashu buddhiparyavatishthate
prasade upajayate. When the mind becomes relatively calm, relatively tranquil, then that mind being available for contemplation becomes very easy. Now, it is very easy for such a person to be focused, to have the focused attention upon the nature of the Atma. Then, when the person can, without any distraction, disturbance, easily contemplate upon the nature of the Atma, what happens? Now, Atma Swarupam becomes ascertained. Atma Swarupam is wound up as one's own Swarupam. Now, Atma Swarupam is wound up as one's own Swarupam. Naturally, the limitation superimposed upon the Atma due to the wrong identity will be resolved. The wrong notion about the self will be resolved. It's not one after the other, it's all simultaneously. Once the wrong notion about self is resolved, means one's kartrutvam, bhoktrutvam also will be resolved. One's the notion that I am the doer, I am an enjoyer, those wrong notions, doership, enjoyership, the sense of being a doer and enjoyer, those notions will be resolved. Thereby what happens naturally, if everything will be understood as Brahma, everything, anatma being mithya will be very clear. Mithya, anatma being non-separate, non-different from satya, atma will become very clear. Atma alone being satyam will be very clear. Oneness of atma also will be oneness of the reality, which is the self of self, which happens to be this, which is the self also will be very clear. In that, what happens? This fullness becomes wound up as one's own Swarupam. It is not one need, one will be completely free from fear of losing something also, fear of death also. The fear will be resolved for good. No? Therefore, the insecurity will be resolved for good. Thereby, what happens when the where there is fullness, naturally, no, all the ignorance caused, all other thoughts will be resolved. But dukkham will be resolved for good. That is why he says, sarva dukkhanam hanihi. Sarva dukkhanam, dukkham is one and the same. Whatever is the cause for this sorrow, sorrow is a state of mind. And there are so many things which cause unhappiness. You know, because of which unhappiness is. So all those things will not be there. That's why sarva dukkhanam hanihi. Hanihi means what? Like the destruction of, resolution of, okay, all forms of sorrow, different degrees of pain. Sarva dukkhanam hanihi. This is what one has been working throughout. Whole life is lived to have what? Sarva dukkhanam haner nimittameva jivanam. Now whole life is lived to resolve all one's pains. He says, sarva dukkhanam hanihi asya upajayate. No, that means what? Sarva dukkhanam hanihi asya purushasya upajayate. For him it happens. For whom it happens? The hani of all the dukkhas, destruction of, elimination of all forms of sorrow, okay, different degrees of pain will be resolved. Will, for whom? For whom it happens? Prasade, prasannasya, okay, prasade. Prasade, when a person has this pure, no, when a person becomes relatively calm, thereby he becomes contemplative, thereby he has attained vision, thereby it happens. It doesn't tell everything. When he just says, oh, the mind becomes quiet, immediately he gets all dukkhams go. We have to supply other things. Just the mind becomes calm, but every day in sleep also you are prasada, you have prasada. Every day in sleep you have prasada. Understand? You're quiet, you're calm. That does not mean then we can get it. So here, with awareness, with understanding, no, the calmness, the relative serenity one has born of understanding and by living a life prudently, in conformity with dharma. It's a question of prudence, question of viveka. The lack of viveka, viveka means what? Lack of discriminating knowledge of why I need to live a life of dharma. If I live a life, don't live a life of dharma, how I disturb the order? How the order disturbed will result in disturbing me? Okay, will, you know, I'll become a victim of the disturbance of the order. How that is how the natural order is, the law and order is. This understanding really helps me, you know, so understand all viveka. So all viveka only. Viveka means not only that this too, not just that and this. That happens later on, okay? Satyam mithya vivekaha is very easy. Discriminating knowledge of what is satyam, what is mithya is very easy. But before that, all the time, we think we are very wise, okay? But we are not. The Shastram explains, no? In fact, knowing the greater value of what we will lose if we will not follow dharma, and what we gain, you know, what is that? How? Why? Because it is very important for one to be free from being a split personality for this jnanam and moksha. And that implies conformity with dharma is very, very important. Because that somewhere, because social life, living a life in society, now always very big challenge. This is a very challenging thing. And that's why contemplative disposition, now, of course, Shastra study is important. Definitely the teacher, study with the teacher is very important. Atma Swarupam, if systematically studied, you cannot miss the vision. You cannot miss it. No, but how regularly? No. So that. And then here, when you study with the teacher, and that's even then, we also saw in Upanishad class also, Satyena Labhyaha, there. That is why it's emphasized. Upanishad study is important with the help of the teacher. At the same time, living a life of dharma, Without that, Shastra study also will not work. Without Shastra study, merely living a life of Dharma is not enough, is inadequate, it's incomplete. But where has study of Shastram, without living the life that has to, you know, the culture, the way of life, which should go with the knowledge, when vision, if it is not appreciated also, still the study will not be fruitful. Isn't it? That is very important. That's why here it's, therefore it's emphasized here, prasade, no, yada manaha prasannaha bhavati, calm bhavati, when it becomes calm, prasade sarva dukkhanam, asya purushasya hanihi upajayate, for him all these sorrows come to an end. This is not simply exaggerated, simply said here, just to please people, it's a fact. This is a fact. Because it is a fact, if we understand, we can accept it. If we do not understand also, whether we accept it or not, fact is a fact. Non-acceptance of a fact is equal to immaturity. Okay. Then, prasanna chetasaha. Okay. Then, when the, all the dukkham, dukkhanam hanihi yada upajayate, when all these different, no, different forms of pain, different degrees of pain, different, no, these things, all these things which cause sorrow, they are all resolved for good. No, he says, resolved for good. That's in fact, there's no real destruction, only resolution. I'll tell you how what resolution is now. Then what happens? There's only fullness. There's only happiness. Does he attain that happiness? No. He only recognizes, does not attain it. Recognizing what as its own swarupam. Own swarupam means, you can understand, for him fullness or happiness is not something to be lost because swarupam. Atma swarupam, the swarupam of the very self. When I say swarupam of the self, we say H2O is the swarupam of the wave. Is H2O belongs to the wave? Does H2O belong to the wave? Belonging means what? Possession. Is it possessed by the wave? Yeah, possessed. There's a possessor possessed connection. Possessor possessed connection is there what now? It will be inseparable. Understand now? Formini's form means separable. But waves H2O means what? Inseparable? No. Similarly, fullness is Atmanaha Swarupam, Atma Swarupam. The Swarupam of the Atma means, is it separable? No. Understand now? For want of words, I have to say Atmanaha Swarupam, Swarupam of the Self. Swarupam of the Self, I say, in fact, it is not even separable. Therefore, what? It is swarupa means inseparable. Possessor possessed connection is not there for the self and the happiness. It's very swarupam, therefore not separable. Inseparable, therefore everlasting, eternal. That is why there's no fear of losing it. And it is just a question of accepting something, now owning up. One's own swarupam. As long as it is not recognized, it is as though not there. Once it is recognized, it's just what? Just being. Isn't it? That's what he says here. Such a person, fullness becomes what? Swarupam. Then what is he now? Prasanna chetasaha. Prasanna chetas means mind, and prasanna chetasaha means the happy minded. And okay, the mind, enlightened mind, in fact, which revels in fullness is what? Prasanna chetas. And here the minded is what? Prasanna chetas is the one, the person whose mind revels in fullness. The one whose mind revels in fullness, due to the discovery of fullness as this very swarupam of the Atma, is who now prasanna chetasaha, chetas. and tasya prasanna chetasaha shashti. Now for him, for that happy minded person, ashu, he indeed ashu, ashu means soon, within no time. Okay, within no time is what? Ashu means immediately. Ashu means there's no time at all. Ashu. Buddhihi pariyavatishtate. Buddhihi tishtate. Avatishtate. Pariyavatishtate. Pariyavatishtate. It means what? Buddhihi means what? His knowledge becomes steadfast, firm and doubt-free. Knowledge becomes, now his attention of the buddhi, his intellect, his attention of the mind remains absorbed in swarupam. His knowledge, his thought, no, his intellect becomes absorbed in swarupam of the Lord. The reality means what? He has doubt-free knowledge. Okay? Because mind revels in fullness. And where is the mind? In swarupam, of the self. Mind is with the self. Okay, mind is resolved in self. Buddhihi pariyava tishtate. Once the mind recognizes its own swarupam, its own real self, mind recognizing its own self means what? Its own reality, its own existence. Is mind recognizing reality in terms of its swarupam as pure knowledge? And he understands pure knowledge is the very existence of the mind. It's okay? The chit, the pure knowledge, is the sat, the existence of the mind. And this pure knowledge, the chit, which is recognized, the atma, the self, recognized as the pure knowledge, the chit, which is the sat of the mind, is sat of the whole jagat, sat, the existence of this pranas, existence of this body, existence of all the chetram, achetram, chara, acharam jagat. And that chit, which is the sat of everything, chasatta of the mind, sat of everything, existence of everything, is in fact anantam. Being limitless is in the limitlessness also. Happiness and fullness. Okay? That understanding is what? Buddhihi pariyava tishtate. Okay? The buddhi, the knowledge becomes firm, means what? His knowledge of the reality becomes firm. Doubt-free. Therefore, managed thoughts, the managed desires results in firm, doubt-free knowledge, which is moksha. Unmanaged desires results in disaster. So how do we know? 62 and 63 talk about the unmanaged thoughts in the form of desires. This is in the form of, okay? Then 62, 1 and 2. Yeah, 62 and 3. 64 and 5 talk about the managed, you know, thoughts, desires. Understand? So if we tell very clearly, if the thoughts are managed, look at this. Why we have talked about 4 verses are very important verses. We are not talking about the jnani. Who is the jnani? Jnani is the one who had his thoughts managed, thereby, no, who was blessed with the prasadaha, understand, serenity, relative serenity, thereby who became, who must have been contemplative, thereby now whose buddhi pariyavatishtate. Now whose buddhi, whose knowledge is firm and doubt-free, is a jnani. That is what we are, so we are also expected to be do the same thing. Understand, why he has to talk about it? See, don't feel guilty about having thought, desires, or anger, or entertaining any thought. You are just helplessly having thoughts. Thoughts are natural, but Bhagavan has blessed you with the buddhi shakti, okay, the willpower, understand, to manage. Bhagavan has blessed you with two things. One is what? Knowledge of values. And he has given you what? You do not know the value of values. You know the values. Bhagavan has blessed you with the knowledge of values. And Bhagavan has also blessed you with what? The nature, the order has blessed you with willpower also. That is why you are so different and special among all the creatures. With these two blessings, you are, and with the help, when you study Shastra, when you expose to Shastra, when you come to know of the very purpose of living this life, when you already understand, you have Purushartha Nischayaha, when in the context of knowing the value of knowledge, you arrive at knowledge of the value of values, then you can use your buddhi, which Bhagavan has blessed you with, what buddhi? The willpower and the knowledge of values, to live a life of values. That is how you don't need, that is what Bhagavan means, you can manage your desires, which will help you to resolve the desires for good. You can never undo your desires, but you can have your desires and all this kamaha, krodha, lobha, moha, madha, matsarya, all these impurities, you can resolve them for good. In jnanam, jnane sarvam parisamapyate, in jnanam, you can resolve them for good totally. But until jnanam takes place, you cannot undo them, but you never destroy them. Even in knowledge, you are not destroying them, you only have them resolved. Before jnanam, you are expected to manage. And to manage, how to manage, why you should manage, you understand, you study Shastra. Without feeling guilty. And to manage, you need some strength, capacity that your Bhagavan has blessed you with. What is that? Knowledge of values, willpower, both you are blessed with. Use your knowledge of values, use your willpower, and being exposed to Shastram, knowing the value of values, follow those values, then you have perfectly managed, that's what efficiently, intelligently managed your thoughts. If you can manage, you will be blessed with the firm knowledge of reality, wherein you can resolve these managed thoughts for good. I mean, in jnanam, you will be free. You don't need to manage them anymore. Understand? You can resolve them for good. I got it.
Nasti buddhira yuktasya, nasti buddhira yuktasya, nacha yuktasya bhavana, nacha yuktasya bhavana, nacha bhavayata shanti, nacha bhavayata shanti, ashantasya kutasukham, ashantasya kutasukham, nasti buddhira yuktasya, nasti buddhira yuktasya, nachayuktasya bhavana, nachayuktasya bhavana, nacha bhavayata shanti,
nacha
bhavayata shanti, ashantasya kutasukham, ashantasya kutasukham.
Here also, in the 66th verse also, Bhagavan, in a different way, he emphasizes the importance of living a life of karma yoga, a dharma governed life. Okay, we're asking a question. Okay, a question which there is objection. Okay, I'll tell you a bit. It says, ayuktasya buddhihi nasti. Here say, nasti na asti is not there. What is not there? Buddhihi nasti. Buddhihi means what? Here you have to understand. Ayuktasya buddhihi nasti. But the buddhi, the mind will not be available for knowledge, not be ready for knowledge. Buddhihi nasti. The preparedness of the antahkaranam is not there. Buddhihi, and the sharp intellect is not possible. Sharp, okay, the mind. The mind, the buddhi shakti, which is required on the part of every human mind, now, for understanding, that is not possible. For whom? Ayuktasya. Who is ayuktaha? No, yuktaha means, no, yuktaha means a participle actually. Yukta means integrated. Yuktaha. Yukta means a participle integrated. Yuktaha means the person who is integrated. Integrated minded. Yuktaha. What is integration? Yukta, who is integrated? No? The one who is noble. Who is noble? Who is yuktaha? No? One who has yuktaha, in fact, one whose thought, word and deed are in alignment. One whose thought, word and deed are identical, he is yuktaha, integrated person. See, if a person's thought, word and deed have to be in alignment, they have to be identical, that means the person must be committed to live a life of values. What does it mean? How can you, what to think, what to speak, what you do must be in alignment means definitely there must be commitment to live a life of dharma. If there is no commitment to live a life of dharma, then there will be what? Disintegration. The word split personality we say. So here yuktaha is the one who is integrated, not split. That means the one for, it is how to have thought, word and deed in alignment. Just be by being committed to live a life of values, not to transgress dharma. Commitment not to transgress dharma. Values. No, is only way to be integrated. And who is the one who can be, who can commit oneself to live a life of dharma? Values? The one who knows the value of values. Who is the one who can know the value of values? Who can use his willpower and knowledge of values and there be committed to live, committed not to transgress values? The one who knows the value of knowledge. One who knows, unless and until I commit myself to live a life of values, it is impossible for me to have prasada buddhihi. Prasada buddhihi means prasanna, no? Prasadam. Buddhihi means what here actually, the prasadam is not possible. Okay, the relative tranquility, relative serenity is not possible at all. And without which, knowledge is not possible. The one who knows the value of one who has purushartha nischeha, one who knows the knowledge itself is moksha, one who knows knowledge being the ultimate end, and there be one who is committed to the choiceless, the pursuit of choiceless end, thereby one who knows the value of dharma alone can commit oneself to live a life of dharma, and such a person who lives a life of dharma is the yuktaha purushaha. Yuktasya buddhihi asti. Yuktasya prasadaha asti. Understand now? Ayuktasya. Ayuktaha means what? Na yuktaha ayuktaha. Na satyam asatyam like that. Na yuktaha ayuktaha. Disintegrated personality. A split personality is ayuktaha. Why he is split personality? Because what he thinks is different, what he speaks is different, what he does is entirely different. Therefore, there is no integration between the word, what he speaks and what he does and what he thinks. That is because there is no commitment to live a life of dharma. That is because till the person has some doubt about the value of values, there is no valued. Values are not highly valued. The values are valued highly. One cannot understand. It's very difficult. values, one who has, it's very important to know the value of values. Very important. Otherwise, it is very, very difficult, big challenge to, living a dharma is a big challenge. Very difficult. And if that is not there, then dacha person is ayuktaha. See, yuktaha is yogyaha. Integrated person is the yogyaha. Eligible person for jnanam and moksha. Yogyaha means what? Qualified, eligible person, arhaha. Understand? Yuktaha is yogyaha. Ayuktaha is ayogyaha. Nayogya in Tamil, in India, we use the wrong sense, okay? Ayogya means any raw, any, okay? We here something else for the equivalent word in English language. Okay, but here, ayogyaha means one who is not qualified. Not, one who is not eligible, ayogyaha. Ayuktaha is ayogyaha. Yuktaha is yogyaha. Eligible. So, ayuktasya buddhihi nasti, it means what? Ayuktasya ayuktasya manaha prasadam na adhigacchati. That's what it says. No, it cannot be relatively tranquil. Then, he says, ayuktasya buddhihi nasti, he says, therefore, ayuktasya bhavana nasna. Bhavana literally means a feminine gender word, which means a thought, thinking. Bhavayati, bhav dhatu, okay? Bhavayati means thinks. No, places the attention. Okay? Placing attention. Bhavayati. This nice, beautiful kirtan. Have you heard it? Bhavayami Raghuramam. Do you remember? Okay. Very famous song, Bhavayami Raghuramam. So here, Bhavayati, Bhavayami, Bhavanam, no? Bhavana means a thought, no? Okay, thinking, little meaning, but placing the attention, focused attention on the nature of reality, if it is what? Bhavana here means being able to, you know, place attention of the mind on the nature of reality is what? Contemplation. Contemplative disposition is called bhavana here. Okay? Contemplation. So that bhavana nasti, it is impossible for one to be able to be contemplative if a person is ayuktaha. Okay? Why? Because the person who is not yuktaha, he'll be afflicted by, his mind will be all the time disturbed by kama, krodha, lobha, moha, madha, masarya. These cannot be managed. The unmanaged thoughts, I tell you, will all the time be, you know, too noisy. Very agitated, highly agitated, restless mind. That mind cannot learn even any ordinary facts. How can I understand this? The biggest, greatest fact, absolute reality. So, bhavana nasti. Okay? Contemplation is not possible for such a mind. Why I am saying bhavana here? Because bhavana literally does not mean only contemplation. Bhavana means a thought, thinking of something. And here bhavana means contemplative, this entertaining a contemplative disposition of the mind and being contemplative, being able to be contemplative upon the nature of the self is called bhavana. Listen, it is not possible. Bhavana nasti. Kasya, who, for whom? Ayuktasya. For the disintegrated minded, relative tranquility is not possible. Therefore, what is not possible? Contemplation also is impossible. He is highly disturbed, but he is very contemplative, you know. Can you say that? No. Gita doesn't accept that. Then he says, nacha, and he says, cha and abhavayataha, for the one who is not able to place his attention on the nature of the Atma. Okay, abhavayataha. See, bhavayan purushaha means the one who is contemplative. Bhavayan purushaha means the contemplative minded person. Contemplative person is bhavayan purushaha. Bhavayataha, for the one who is contemplative, positive case, positive of bhavayan. Bhavayan, bhavayantam, bhavayata, bhavayate, bhavayataha, bhavayataha is possessive. Takar, okay? Bhavayataha, for the one who is contemplative, is a bhavayataha. For abhavayataha means what? For the one who is not contemplative. Why I had talked about abhavayataha? The first line talks about for the one who is not fit for contemplation. So, being not qualified for contemplation, being not being able to be contemplative, not having in a contemplative disposition of the mind, this person becomes what now? Abhavayana purushaha. Non-contemplative. Okay? So, abhavayataha, for the one who does not have the contemplative disposition of the mind, why? Prasadaha nasti. Why? Ayuktaha. Because ayuktaha, therefore there is no prasada, there is no serenity. Therefore what? Bhavana nasti, contemplative disposition is not there. Because contemplative disposition is being not there, he is abhavayataha. For the one who does not have contemplative disposition of the mind, for the one who cannot be contemplative, for the one it is whom it is impossible to dwell upon the nature of the reality, abhavayataha. For the one who cannot contemplate upon the nature of the self, for such a person, thoughts cannot be resolved at all. Understand now? See, resolution of the thoughts means what? The resolution of the thoughts is said to be here what? Mind being quiet. Okay? Peaceful. Now, what is peaceful? People think peaceful means what? Every day in sleep, you are all happy, you are all peaceful. No, why? No thought rises. Shanti. But not nirantara shanti. It what? Time-bound shanti. You have relative freedom. Temporary relief is called shanti. You see, this is a shanti. Relief is called shanti. Peace means what? No thought disturbs you. Okay? What is peace? Mind being peaceful means not being disturbed or tormented, haunted by the thoughts which arise in the mind. Okay, this person who cannot be, if a person is contemplative, attention is placed on the nature of his self and he can see the reality being satyam, all the thoughts being mithya. Understand, then he can resolve the thoughts in the jnana. But here, that resolution of the thoughts is not possible for non-contemplative person. Even if he takes some sedative, he can fall asleep for 2-3 hours. Again, he will wake up with a more disturbed mind. Understand now? Therefore, it is impossible for him to resolve the thoughts, thereby to be at home, to be peaceful. Shantihi nasti. Understand now? It is not possible for him to undo thoughts. That means what? Thoughts cannot be resolved. If thoughts cannot be resolved, there will be disturbance. There will be troubled mind. Troubled mind, disturbed mind is what? Not peaceful mind. When he says, there is no peace. That means what? There is no... Okay, shantihi nasti. Shantihi here means having the thoughts resolved for good in contemplation, thereby, understand now, being peaceful. Being peaceful means what? Understand now. Being peaceful means having the thoughts resolved, thereby being peaceful. So the real resolution of the thoughts is possible only by contemplation, in contemplation, through contemplation. Understand now? Otherwise, the thoughts are not resolved through contemplation, by contemplation, then thoughts will be there. Thoughts are there means what? There will be disturbed, turbulent mind. The disturbed mind is not peaceful mind. If there is no peace in such a mind, he says, abhavayataha shantihi nasti. There is no, understand now, shantihi nasti. For the one who is not contemplative, there cannot be peace. He says, ashantasya. For the one whose peace means people think something differently. Here I had to understand very clearly. If you cannot resolve your thoughts for good, you know, kutaha sukham, how can there be happiness? You can have only time-bound pleasure by watching some TV, television, serial. For some time you can forget things. And you have what? Time-bound pleasure. No dukkham as long as I'm watching. What is that? There's no sukham. There's only what? Time-bound pleasure. Sukham means what? Sukham means nitya nirantara sukham. There's no happiness. Nitya sukham, nirantara sukham. Nirantara sukham. Antara means what? Okay, gap. Okay, antara means in between something. Nirantaram means what? Continuous, constant, continuous. Okay, which stays forever, which remains forever. This is constant. Nirantara sukham. This sukham, santara sukham. For some time you have something, again you get back. Again, you have some problems troubling you. That's what sukham kutaha. How can there be happiness for the one who has not got it, who has not become calm, peaceful, by having resolved his thoughts? And the resolution of the thought is possible only by contemplation. What is contemplation? By placing the attention of the mind, okay, by focusing the attention of the mind on the nature of the reality, okay, then by having the ascertained vision of the reality alone, one can understand Atma alone in Satyam. All the thoughts are the mithya, which are non-separate from the Atma. That understanding the thoughts being mithya, thoughts being non-separate from Atma, like waves being non-separate from H2O, is what? Resolving the thoughts in the Atma. Without undoing the thought, as Swamiji always says, you don't need to flatten the wave to discover the truth of the wave being H2O. Once you know the truth of the wave being H2O, even if it is the wave, still you have resolved the wave as mithya. In terms of understanding. Got it? Similarly, we don't need to undo the thoughts here. We cannot undo the thoughts. But see, contemplation will help you have the ascertained vision of the Atma being Chaitanyam, which is Satyam, and thereby it will understand all the thoughts being non-separate, inseparable, non-separate from the Atma, then thoughts being Mithya also. The understanding is resolving the thoughts in Satyam. Once you have got the vision of the reality, and you will never lose the vision of the reality. It's not something, no. Let's say people come and tell, no, I was meditating. I got that something. I had some experience, wonderful experience with meditation. Wonderful experience. What is that wonderful experience, you know? I saw some light, flame going. The experience, okay, is gone. This vision of the Atma you'll never lose. Why? Very you. How can you lose yourself? Understand? Contemplation will result in the ascertained vision of the surupam of the mind. What is Swarupam? Shuddha Jnanam, Shuddha Chaitanyam. Understand? That is why, and once you, until you get it, see, you already you got it by Shravanam itself, you get it. Then, because again, further Shravanam will help you resolve the doubts as Manam. And further, once it's clear, the more living a life of karma yoga, you know, and then having some certain prasada, with certain prasada, you're able to be focused, you're contemplative. The contemplative in due course of time will result in ascertain vision of the reality. You know, one particular day something will happen. Nothing will happen. Okay, your knowledge of the reality will become firm, doubt-free. Just pay all the time thinking about it. It's not that one fine day, something will happen, because all these people, having heard this Buddha's, you know, day of enlightenment, everybody celebrates now. He went and sat under the, you know, the Bodhi tree, and he had enlightenment. People go to Gaya all the way, you know, travel, go and sit under the tree. If your mind is not ready, you don't need to go. You can sit on the road and have enlightenment. If it is ready. Understand? You need to know what, where to place your mind, and how your mind is. That's all required. Two things. You should know what to contemplate on. You should know for which you should then Shravanam. Once you know that your mind is ready, you can focus with the disturbance. You have it. Understand? It will not go. And once you have, that's why vision means you will never lose it. It's very sorupam. And then whatever thought comes, identity also goes with the reality only. The thoughts will be resolved. And having the thoughts resolved for good as mithya, in the wake of the knowledge of the satya, atma is what? Nitya shantihi. Understand now? Absolute peace. And the absolute peace is what? That is what is everlasting, you know, fullness. Discovering, and so now, not having the thoughts forever. Not having means what? Having the thoughts resolved for good is means what? Understanding thoughts being mithya very clearly. How can I understand thoughts being mithya? I should know thoughts being non-separate from the reality. And not only that, you should also know the reality being chaitanyam, satyam. What is satyam should become very clear, atma being satyam should become very clear, and the thoughts are non-separate from the atma should be very clear, you should know the thoughts are mithya. Then that's what is resolving thoughts for good. If you have your thoughts resolved for good as mithya, then you have your peaceful. A peaceful mind has what? Revels in fullness. Slight different. Understand now, because people get confused about this peace of mind. Take few tablets, just sleep for a few hours. You are peaceful for some time. We are not interested in just the peace of mind, okay? You have to dissolve peace of mind in what? In total truth of the all the minds. Understand? No? I mean, peace, mind peace. Dissolve it in totality. Total peace. Understand? No, this is what? And then sukham. What is sukham? Sukha means reveling in fullness is sukha. Discovering, then you understand there's no fullness or that is real sukha. Why? Why did we say everlasting? Why it ever, why it's everlasting? Never lost. Why it is never lost? It cannot be lost forever. Why? Because fullness and consciousness are not two different things. Happiness and fullness are not two different things. Limitlessness, happiness and fullness are one and the same, which are non-separate from what? Consciousness. Therefore, sukham, kutaha sukham, ashantasya sukham nasti. Okay? Abhavetaha shantihi nasti. ayuktasya bhavana nasti. Got it now? Same thing is repeat, again emphasized. In a different way he puts it. Kasya ayuktana buddhihi nasti. Prasada buddhihi nasti. Okay? Ayuktasya. Kaha yuktaha bhavati. Who will be integrated minded? A karma yogi. Understand? One who lives the life of karma yogi, eva yuktaha bhavishyati. Who is karma yogi? Who is, no? Dharma anushtata. Yaha dharmam acharati. Okay, one who lives a life of dharma. One who is committed to live a life of dharma. With purusharthanishchaya, of course. That's very... So, the one who lives a life of dharma alone becomes yuktaha. Yuktaha eva. Yuktaha alone becomes what? In fact, yuktasya eva buddhihi pariyavatishtati. Understand now? Prasada madhigachati. Is possible. Only for him bhavana is, contemplation is possible. Yuktasya bhavana sadhya bhavati. It is possible for him to be contemplative. No, bhavayataha, only for the contemplative shanti is possible. Only for the one who is peaceful, happiness is possible. Peaceful means, don't mistake, peaceful and happy people think both are same, isn't it? Yes, but relative. So relative peace is pleasure. Permanent peace, absolute peace is happiness. If you have your thoughts resolved for length of time, for a short while, understand, by forgetting all the problems you have what? Relative peace. Then the pleasure you have is what? It's time-bound pleasure, isn't it? If you have resolved your thoughts for good, then you have absolute peace. That is sukham, nirantara sukham. Understand? So Tyagaraja says, I don't know whether you know Telugu? I don't know. Okay. There's a beautiful song with him. Shantamu lekha saukhyamu ledu. He says, without shanti there's no saukhyam. Because people get confused about this shanti. Shanti is something to do with the thoughts being not there. It's in fact mind being at ease, peaceful, timely. But happiness means swarupa. Got it now? See, if the waves are not turbulent, okay? Undisturbed, resolved. Stillness is what? There is, you can say, silence. If they are making noise, there's noise, isn't it? There's no silence. Happiness and resolution.
What's the difference between exactly between prasadam and shanti? Is there a difference? Are they same?
Yeah, there you mean relative peace. Prasadaha, you talk about relative peace. And here he talks about the, in this context, shantihi, you can say prasadaha also, but here he talks about the absolute peace. I mean, having the thoughts relatively resolved, no? Relative, I mean, having, being peaceful relatively is called prasadaha in this context. And the shanti implies what? Having thought resolved for good. Without being absolutely peaceful, without having resolved thoughts for good, nitya sukham, moksha sukham is not possible. No? Which implies knowing swarupam of the Atma. See, forgetting the pain is different from having the root cause disease removed for good, isn't it? When you forget the pain also, you are okay. Different from removing the root cause of the problem for good, isn't it? Different. Anyway, this verse emphasizes indirectly again what? Living a life of dharma only. Indriyanam hi charatam,
Indriyanam hi charatam,
yanmano nu vidhiyate,
tadasya harati prajnam,
vayurnavamivambhasi, Indriyanam hi charatam,
Indriyanam hi charatam,
yanmano nu vidhiyate,
yanmano nu vidhiyate,
Indriyanam hi charatam,
Indriyanam hi charatam,
yanmano nu vidhiyate,
yanmano nu vidhiyate,
tadasya harati prajnam,
tadasya harati prajnam,
vayurnavamivambhasi,
vayurnavamivambhasi.
Okay. He says, yanmanaha indriyanam charatam, indriyanam hi charatam, yanmanaha anuvidhiyate. Manaha, the mind, attention of the mind, charatam, now why indriyanam, yan manaha, the mind which is charatam, now which is moving with the senses, means what now? Indriyanam charatam means the one's mind, attention of the mind always backs up the senses. And when the mind, attention of the mind is with the senses, then where is the attention of the mind? The mind is with the sense objects naturally. The mind is with the senses, then naturally the mind is with the sense objects perceived. Sense objects perceived by sensor also. It is very natural. If the mind is not with the senses, the sense power has no power of perceiving. Know that? Even if the sense power is very effective, okay, powerful, even the powerful sense power will be as good as non-existent. Okay? It cannot do anything in terms of reporting the objects if the attraction of the mind is not with the sense objects. Know that? The mind does not back up the senses. The senses lack the power of reporting and about the sense objects. Why? The very perception does not take place, cannot take place. That is why many a time sitting very closely also you do not listen. Some sounds get into, you know, just to come, go and knock at the ears, and they just enter into the sounds are entering into. Understand now, the ears, ear lobes, they go inside also, but nothing becomes, now nothing is heard. You are looking at things, but you are not seeing things. That is why we learn very little, we absorb very little. Because most of the times, mind is not with the senses. At most of sometimes. Because the mind becomes preoccupied with something else, the mind is not available for senses. Then the mind is not with the senses, then the perception itself cannot take place, then the mind, the senses lose the capacity of reporting about the sense objects. But if the mind, okay, is with the senses, very con, okay, my attention of the mind is with the senses, It means what? Completely extrovert. Mind is readily available, okay? To all, the mind is looking for something. The mind is extroverted mind, which is with the senses. Then naturally it is with the sense objects. Such one has to be what? Yanmanaha indriyanam indriyaihi sahacharati. Indriyanam, okay, charatam indriyanam yanmanaha. What are the senses to? You have to keep your senses open, and they are meant for perceiving objects. They are charanti. Indriyani charanti, sada charanti. Senses always move, wander. Where? Toward the objects. In their objects. Senses are moving towards their objects. You can't help. When the eyes are open, you can't. You have no say over the perception of, you know, perception of the light happening. And I want to keep my eyes open, but I don't want to see anything. You have no choice. And they said, now, you have no choice. And your ears are open. What choice do you have about hearing, listening? You have no choice about hearing. You have to, so with the objects. The senses are open means, the mind also backs up the senses. Naturally, the senses are very much with the objects. The senses are very much with the objects. So indriya, so if you say charat indriyam, charanti indriyani, charatam indriyanam. The senses which are moving, all the time moving towards the objects. Yan manaha anuvidhiyate. The mind which follows these senses, which are moving towards the objects. That means what? How can the mind follow the senses? If the mind, attention of the mind is with the senses, which are moving with their objects, then what happens? Such senses, okay, which have the attention of, which are backed by the mind, and which are moving toward in their objects, such senses are very powerful. They take, snatch this mind. Not only mind, they snatch the, no, that mind, what happened? The mind is gone with the senses which are moving. Attention of mind goes with the senses which are moving towards sense objects. Then naturally, there the thinking will not be there. So, prajnam harati. Buddhi shakti. Now, the thinking capacity. What thinking capacity? The discriminative shakti. Okay? The power of discrimination, discerning power, discriminative power, no, will be lost. The power of discrimination, discriminative power, buddhi shakti means what? Discriminatively knowing, do I need this? Do I need this? Do I want this? What is it going to do? Etc. There's no time to think. Why? The discriminative power, the power of discrimination, power of discerning, the discerning capacity, buddhi shakti, will be lost. Why? Because it is not, my attention is not available. Where is attention of the mind? It is with the senses. So what? They have been, mind, attention of the mind is taken away by the senses, which are moving all the time towards the objects. Then the buddhi shakti will be lost. That's why it says here that the mind which is wandering along with the senses. Okay? The mind which wanders with the senses, which are what moving towards their objects. Such mind, buddhim harati, it snatches away the, drags away the buddhi shakti. Prajnam harati. Manaha prajnam harati. Like what? Vayuhu ambasi navam eva. We haven't seen big tempests. Okay? I haven't seen really. No? Vayuhu. Vayuhu means the big wind. Not this. In this country there is no vayu at all. I have to go out and check all them. All them, no, not enough vayu. I want big, you know, free air flow. So here, now vayuhu, the big winds, no, behave, you know, prachanda vataha. When they blow, and this, no, really, and the sea, then what happens? The boats will be pushed, and then, no, navam vayuhu harati. The boat, the air, no, the wind which blows can really fell the boat. It really, it's harati, it pulls the boat. Vayuhu harati. Kim harati, kam harati, navam harati. Kutra ambasi. Where is boat? Ambas means water. Just as the wind pushes, snatches, okay, grabs and fills the boat and the water, so also, you know, the boat which is snatched, which is really pulled by the wind and the waters, will be really will sink and drown. Okay, will never reach the shore. Similarly, here also, and I said, never reach the shore. It will sink and then it will fall first, then sink, then drown. It will never reach the shore. Similarly, here also, the one whose buddhi, like the boat, okay, which is just, it is possibility of, the buddhi has what now? Possibility of reaching the shore of moksha, or possibility of being snatched and being what? The possibility of sinking and drowning for good. Understand now? Buddhi has the possibility. If the buddhi, shakti, is grabbed by what? The mind. Which mind? The mind which follows the senses. Which senses? The senses which are the sense objects. The attention of the mind is given to the senses, and the senses will drag the mind towards their sense objects. And when the mind has gone after senses, through the senses to sense objects, being dragged by the senses, the attention has gone towards the sense objects, means then mind has also dragged along with the mind, the capacity, discerning capacity also will go away. Then, understand now? Then it is not possible for one to think about moksha, jnanam, value of dharma, and then, no, to manage one's desires. There's no management possible. It's a rotten. Understand now? Buddhi will be rotten. That's what he says here. In fact, buddhihi. Buddhim harati. Again, what does he say here? If it is possible for the mind to go after senses which are with the sense objects, if one lives a life of dharma, if one lives the dharma, one's mind can be managed. It will not go after senses. Mind is supposed to back up the senses. Senses are supposed to perceive the objects, supposed to report about the objects. Nothing wrong. If the mind is managed by living a life of dharma, the thoughts are managed by living a life of dharma, the desires, ragadveshas are managed by living a life of dharma. See, managing ragadveshas by living a life of dharma is what? In fact, managing the mind. Managing the mind is not, okay, the mind not going after the senses. So this verse also indirectly talks about what? Self-management. Through desire management. Through mind management. And it talks about through the management, how one can avoid the loss. See, again, it repeats in a different way, talks about it. How can one, simple thing, talks in it, oh, mind, if the mind goes after senses, Now the senses take the mind towards sense objects, then the mind which goes after senses and grab the buddhi shakti also and go away. So what is the buddhi shakti means what? Then nothing, no? There's no question of mind becoming pure and steady, there's no question of mind becoming contemplate, there's no question of mind knowing the reality, there's no question of asserting, having assertion of reality, there's no question of resolving the thought, there's no question of attaining moksha, discovering moksha. Understand? That's what he says. So that's why he does not say, does Pampritish don't allow the mind senses to go after the sense objects, have control the senses, and don't allow the mind to go after senses, control the mind, okay, and have suppressed the desires, give up the desires, give up anger, for what? You meditate and have let the smoke coming out through this. No, nothing is possible. Okay? We have to understand, Bhagavan is so beautiful. Bhagavan is not a Hitler, okay? Such a Karnavan. I shouldn't say about Jains or Germans. Okay? Bhagavan is not such a person, okay? Karnamurti, Dayavan. We say, Bhagavan is, for God is love, fullness, isn't it? Bhagavan is fullness. So it is, the fullness is what? Love. So there can't be such thing. So here we say, under all that is said is, objects are there for you to perceive and to enjoy. And these senses are there for you to use them, to perceive, the instruments of knowledge. And they will report. And the mind is there to know, mind is there to think and to be with and to enjoy. Everything is given for it, blessed, you are blessed with everything to have the, enjoy the life. But, so don't control anything, understand it is very natural for thoughts to arise, especially desires, ragaha and dveshaha, twofold desires, likes and dislikes, very natural. And there will be following it raga, dvesha, then krodha. We lead krodha, just raga and dvesha. Virupu, virupu. Okay, we say desires in two forms, likes and dislikes. Very natural. They will be there. We already have seen why they arise, how they are triggered. You can undo them. They come. And these naturally, these thoughts, the mind, attention of the mind, once goes after senses, you know, then these senses, the mind, attention of the mind is only with the senses, then naturally they will grab the mind towards sense objects. The mind goes after senses, it will grab, it won't go alone, okay? It will grab the buddhi shakti along with it and go. Then lost. But how to do? That is why manage your raga dveshas. Don't try to control. If you control, in the long run, you will be controlled. Understand? Trying any effort made to control the mind will lead to madness. If you understand the raga dveshas, understand the mind, then try to manage, make all possible efforts to manage the mind. In fact, managing the mind implies one's actions being performed, actions should be performed in conformity with dharma. That's all. You are conscious of values, you know, they're conscious of not transgress, you know, make effort not to transgress dharma, not to transgress dharma, not to go against dharma, that is enough. That is what is management. That's the only way you can manage your agadvishas. Initially manage. Then that means diseases are managed, then even if the mind is going with the senses, ragadvesha viyuktam manaha indriyahi sahacharati. Not yuktam manaha. Understand now? The mind which goes with what? Is free from, which has managed ragadveshas, is that such a mind? Where there is commitment to dharma, there the diseases are managed. Raga-dveshas are very well managed. Then with an understanding, when the mind is with the senses, then the mind does not go away with the sense through the objects. Not that the mind does not go, the mind does not grab the, take away the buddhi shakti also. It means what? Buddhi shakti will be very, Ramesh, very alert. Where can the buddhi go? Very alert mind will be there. Alert shakti will be there. Not a lost buddhi, but a alert, sharp buddhi will be there. Listen now. This was also emphasizes indirectly the importance of managing one's raga dveshas by living a committed life of dharma. By living a life of dharma. Understand? In Upanishad also we say here, 2-3 verses, Satyena, Atmana, Vyaha, etc., etc. We have same thing. In the context of see why we say we talked about the jnani, it is impossible for one to proclaim oneself, no? To be a jnani if dharma is not there. Dharma anushtanam is very, see, moksha and jnanam are very, very easy to accomplish. Moksha is nothing but jnanam. Okay, jnanam is the moksha. Discovering the atma itself is discovering fullness. Discovering fullness is attaining fullness, isn't it? Attaining happiness. There are two different things. Knowledge is freedom. That is easy. What is difficult? Contemplative disposition. Understand? What do you need for that? That is why living a life of dharma. It's very important.
How do you persuade the mind to live a life of dharma?
Pardon?
How do you persuade the mind when it doesn't to live a life of dharma?
That's what I was telling. If there is knowledge of the value of dharma, that means you have to strengthen your knowledge of the value of dharma. If the value of dharma, value of values, is very clear, then you effortlessly you can persuade. It becomes easy. And in spite of knowing the value of values also, sometimes it is difficult. It's called pratibandha. No? Obstacles come in your way. Because the more you try to live with dharma, the more you will have to, it's very challenging. You have to be prayerful. Always have to seek help. Always I tell you, prayer, you understand, see, when you feel utterly helpless, you know the value of dharma, so you want to live a life of dharma, and then you make possible efforts to live a dharma, and still you are cornered that you are not able to live a life of dharma, okay? Then that is why pray. Understand? Pray. What should we pray? With a prayer? O Lord, please bless me. Who is the Lord here? The Lord, the whole, the universal law and order. The pure knowledge, the pure consciousness, which is manifest as the whole, which is manifest as the universal law and order, the natural law and order. Okay? Which is there as the Karapala Dhata. This prayer as a will involved auto-suggestion will be 100% effective. Okay, if you so pray. With all these things, prayer is a must. Pray. Now, O Lord, please bless me with the knowledge of right and wrong. In a given situation, if you have any doubt about it, suppose in a given situation, sometimes now, even because laws are universal, but they are relative. They are not absolute. Laws are natural, these values are universal, but they are relative. That is when sometimes you may be confused. In this context, is it right or wrong? That is what Arjuna was confused in the initially. Himsa, killing, now is wrong. Adharma, isn't it? The whole Vedic teaching is based on what? Ahimsa paramo dharma. The most exalted of all the values is ahimsa. But in the battlefield, what you should be doing? You may have to hurt. in the life of battle, the life battle of life, you have to hurt people sometimes. Not intentionally. Unintentionally sometimes you hurt. Sometimes to defend yourself, to protect yourself also you have to hurt. That is why, and that Arjuna had a problem. My God, look at this, not even a wrongdoer I had to fight against. I had to fight. You see, when the question of defending one's own self comes, suppose a snake comes into your bedroom. Please come, drink milk. Will you offer milk to a snake? You'll be jumping first to searching for something, what can I use to kill? No way. You will not go searching for the snake in an anthill, okay? I want to kill all the snakes. Why should I do that? Every being is as significant as any other being. Every being has its own freedom to live, its life. Everyone should enjoy one's own freedom. But the freedom should not be at the cost of universal values. Understand, people don't understand what is freedom. You have your own freedom to live. As long as you don't disturb the order, you have all the freedom to live the way you want to live. But now I want to be free means what? I can do anything I want to. I don't mind disturbing the order. I don't mind going against dharma means what? That freedom is not allowed. Understand? So here, to defend one's life, to defend one's own self, to defend your freedom, to defend your freedom in conformity with dharma. Dharma, 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 I tell you all the time. To defend one's freedom, one's life. Drona. He was crying, no? Arjuna was literally no. Katham Bhishmamaham Sankhe Dronam Chamadhusudhana Ishubhi Pratiyotsyami Pujarho. Hey Arisudhana, how can I fight against these people? That was his plea, no? It was his thing. Because why? Because killing is adharma, himsa is adharma. But what was the context? They are not righteous people. Who? The righteous, the highly evolved righteous people, jnanis like people, were with the wrong side. People who were non-righteous, who were completely the adharmis. And not the adharmis, see, then they were. So all the dharmis' lives were affected because of the adharma. Then it has to be so law. It has to be understood, explained, interpreted correctly. Laws. See, these values are universal. That is why we always universally valued. But they're relative. That means what? They have to be interpreted contextually. Understand? So here, that is where sometimes we get confused. Oh, what is right? What is wrong? That is why Ishwarpana Buddhihi. That is why it's very important. Ishwarpana Buddhihi and Prasada Buddhihi. Sometimes, many a time, we may not know. Once or twice, we may err also. Then what will we do? That is why Prasada Buddhihi comes and goes. Prasada Buddhihi. Samattvam Yogichyate. Karmasu kaushalam yogaha. No? Ishwarpana buddhihi, Ishwar prasada buddhihi. Above all prayer. O Lord, please bless me with the knowledge of right and wrong. Even though I have the knowledge of values. Now I know the value of values also. In this context, I do not know what is right and what is wrong with reference to this particular situation. Please bless me with the see, you have to intensely pray, fervently pray. Please bless me with the knowledge of right and wrong. And please bless me with the knowledge and strength to choose to do the right, to avoid the wrong. Please bless me with the knowledge of what I can change and what I cannot. Please bless me with the knowledge and strength to change what I can, to accept gracefully what I cannot. Okay? This is all inclusive, complete prayer. This is why one has to be prayerful. That is why without being prayerful, you cannot draw strength to be able to live a life of dharma. Understand? And prayer, we are not praying to something unknown God. Unknown means what? No? Not the God who's little mystic, who's all about him is mysterious. We just, you know, the whole Jagat is Bhagavan. This fact has not been ascertained, that's all. And Bhagavan is manifest as the universal law and order. We are talking about Bhagavan sitting somewhere in one place. So which we doubt without seeing him, because him or her also problem. Here the whole Jagat is Ishvara. Just the whole Jagat is the Lord here. And Lord is manifest as the universal law, natural law and order. And according to that law, no order, no action goes for the producing a result. And the prayer is a will inward auto-suggestion, a karma. You produce a result. So I had to pray, I said seek help, and then you will find an answer. So prayerfully, worshipfully, being committed to live a life of dharma, that is why you also entertain proper attitude also. Like what? Like having Ishvara Pada Buddhi. Attitude of offering all one's actions to Bhagavan, Ishvara. That means what? I live this life, I do this karma to live this life, ultimately to discover Swarupam, my own Swarupam. Swarupam of the truth of the whole as the self. Therefore, I live this. That means that understanding is what? Doing one your actions with an attitude of offering it to the Lord. And whatever comes, so what? Whatever comes, so what? Anything is impermanent. That is the fact about everything, whatever comes. Pain is impermanent. Pleasure also is impermanent. Everything comes and goes. So everything is ordained by the natural law. What say do I have? It's a fact. Whether I have to be intelligent enough to accept a fact as a fact. I have to understand the fact, try to understand the fact, accept it. We don't understand, pray for knowledge, sharpness of it, to understand the facts. So all that is prasada, gift from the ordained, they all come and go. So let me entertain certain sameness of mind towards all of them. Prasada buddhi, these attitudes which will really help you, will bless you with the strength. The more you commit to live like a dharma, the more you are prayerfully, worshipfully trying to live a dharma, with these proper attitudes, then definitely you will be tremendously strong enough to be able to live a life of dharma. Have I answered your question?
Yes, thank you.
Have I?
Well, how much of it one can sort of apply is a different matter, but you have explained it.
Pardon?
How much of it one can actually apply from day to day?
See, because the big thing is the laws of faith is very big thing, big shaking thing. So faith means not in some blind faith. With some understanding, some faith is important. So, okay, the prayer as an action, it is effective. That must be very clear. That fact must be clear. Then it is easy. Then prayer will be fervent and intense. Then it will definitely will see that. And some see the more you try, the all the time you're conscious of this. Okay, how am I going to do this? Then you will see the more you're conscious of it, the more alert you will be. You will not do wrong things. That's also perceptive. See, the more you think about, the more you give your mind to this. No, that implies also know how much you give your mind to this. The more you give your mind to this, you think about it all the time. And naturally you will be reminded of this. The more you think about it, the more you think, no, or auto-suggestion also, no, I have to do this. It's not actually brainwashing or anything. It is just trying to remember the fact that I had to really live a life of dharma. We are constantly remembering, giving a thought to this. The more you think about it, the more when the question of action comes, when you have to do things, and there you will be reminded, come on, don't do this. And naturally you will be able to refrain from that, if it is not necessary. You will be blessed with that strength. It's a question of putting effort also. I had to remind myself. That is why we talk about Purusharth Nischaya. From the beginning we always talk Purusharth. See, the problem is many people study Vedanta. It is not for intellectual pleasure. It is not an academic accomplishment. Studying some text, scriptures or Gita or Upanishads. People just think it's an intellectual exercise. More. Oh, something, we need something, we're understanding. That's not true. Here, no, one has to one has to have the Purusharth Nischaya. There is a difference between learning with the PhD professor of head of department of philosophy from such a university and from learning from a sannyasi, who is a tradition teacher. They may not emphasize these things. They'll teach very... I show you some books actually. I don't know. Today I didn't bring because every day I used to carry books. Too heavy. Even today is heavy. I pushed a lot of books at home. Still they become heavy. I was carrying some books with some professors. Fundamentals of Vedanta. You read it. Few things, my God, such a big book. And so small letters and print and with lots of bibliography and all that. So what? Proof that I read all the books so much. What do you convey through that? More the scholarship. And people study, some people who study philosophy for intellectual, it's just an intellectual exercise. No, here the concept of Lord has to be brought in. Lord has to be brought into this picture. Lord has to be understood. And law, what is this universal natural law and order to be understood? Very important. And then we are not really undoing anything. We are not hurting anybody's feelings also. Just accepting a fact. Understand the fact, then accept the fact. Don't accept anything before understanding. Without accepting also, at least try to understand. If it is a fact, why can't you make efforts to understand it? It's very important. And here, the Purusharth Nischayaha. No, see, this mokshaha is not something to be accomplished after death. No. We are not interested in talking about the life after death. We are talking about the life which is lived now at present, the present life. In fact, it is just discovering the swarupa which is already there. He's just discovering the truth which is already there, which is available for recognition as the self. The truth of the whole jagat is available for recognition as the very you, as the very self. It's a fact. You don't need to talk about moksha happiness also. Discovering the truth, that is where like the Purusharth Nischaya, and it is choiceless. What choice do you have about being happy? Do you want to be unhappy all the time? No, want to be happy. But do you want to forget yourself all the time by enjoy a little bit of pleasures? You want to have pleasures continuously. Every fraction, all the fractions put together is the whole. You want to have only fraction, fraction, fraction. But no fraction will be equivalent for the fullness. Isn't it? And to have the fraction of the fullness, you have to, you have to work hard for that. And which is not permanent. And that's every time you lose, it's more painful. All the fractions of pleasures put together as fullness, isn't it? All the way put together as ocean like that. And so that fraction can surface whenever you forget yourself. So you always need something to forget yourself. You have to forget you. Forgetting oneself means forgetting one's smallness being centered on I. And for that, all the time you need something. The mind needs something. That's why it's so emotionally dependent. Okay, mind needs something or other. either wife or husband or children or some programs or friends or some food or drinks or some entertainment, some gatherings. For some people, temple, some people, church, some people, mosque, something, or something or other you want. Some entertainment you want. Entertainment you want. Well, anything which keeps your mind occupied for some time is entertainment. Busy. Anything which keeps the mind busy is busyness. Then you forget. Whenever you are very busy, karya vyapritaha atmanam vismarati. You forget this yourself. You forget yourself in what you don't even remember that you are. Consciously. Not like sleep. Then your smallness is forgotten for some time. Nothing triggers. So all the problems are forgotten for some time. All the problems also are forgotten. When you forget yourself, you happily forget all your other problems also. Your problems are there, but you forget for some time. That is what you, when you, what, that, that is then you have pleasure. That's the state is called pleasure. But you can't, no, forgetting has a solution, isn't it? That is why happiness is choiceless end. What choice do we have? Once you know this is a choiceless end, then you understand knowledge being choiceless end, then you become committed to the pursuit. Not ignoring your artha kamas, everything, deepening yourself or pleasures. No. No, Shastra does not say that. The whole life is for you to live. Depriving everything here, nothing you are going to achieve. You don't deprive yourself of any pleasures or any pursuits of artha and all that. So live the normal life. Try to do whatever you are blessed with, knowledge, skill. Live that life and earn your livelihood. There will be some difficulties and have some proper attitude towards all of them. How, what they comes in life. What will come, what is possible for you to earn, what you are living, what you have. No, some things, attitudes, and live this life and enjoy what pleasures are available for you. If not available also, okay, part of them and then have some attitude, proper attitude towards it. If you don't get what you want to get, then have some, the attitude helps you. Till you progress. No, that is the only way. This whole life is, in fact, is this, to prepare yourself for this jnana. One more thing is the important thing, old age. I'll talk to you about next class. Nobody wants to talk about old age, okay? Nobody wants to remind of old age. And what choice do we have about it? Is it possible to remain young forever? I don't want to be 16, 13. But what do you want to be then? I always want to be 30. Is it possible 30 to 35? Every day we are growing old, one day old. Every fraction of a second our cells are new. What choice do we have? Is that a very desirable thing? And death is something, when we are very young, we do not think about the death. No, death is not an easy thing, not very desirable, pleasant thing. People say, oh, I don't mind dying, you know. People may say all those things, really speaking. That is why Shastram does not expect anyone to deprive oneself of any pleasures. In which all the pleasures are provided here for you to enjoy. As long you can enjoy any amount of pleasures, you can have any amount or pursue any amount of artha, no problem, but in conformity with dharma. Without disturbing the order, you have all the freedom to do anything you want to do. Without disturbing the order. That means, what is the measure? What is, how much should I earn? How much should I enjoy? You can enjoy any as much as you want to. You can earn as much as you want to. But without rubbing against nature. How? Well, how can I avoid that? Living a life of dharma. Where dharma is the code. It's values. But then this life is so beautiful, nice. And that implies certain attitudes. Understanding of Ishvara. Purusha Isharpana Buddhihi Prasada Buddhihi. Understanding Ishvara, Lord as the law and order. There's no confusion. There's no contradiction, there's no controversy also. Because any fact can be easily accepted by any intelligent mind. We will not deny. Any scientist says any fact today, discuss and tells, we may not be sharper to accept, understand the fact. We can remain quiet. There's no question of denying it. Because we are not understood to deny it. And nor have, no, if you have, you can understand, then you can very well accept, you can make efforts to understand it, this fact. Similarly, this is a fact, it's only a question of understanding. That is why this law, Ishvara as law and order is very important. To live the life, always to keep oneself in good humor. I let things come, okay, we'll manage all of it. You know it.
Om Shanti Shanti Shanti.